You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And I'm going down to Allentown, where they're tearing all the factories down. I'm off key. That's where I'm going, heading to Allentown. I'm driving out of here this afternoon. Anybody in this area that wants to go, I'm going to leave about 2 o'clock. I got room for you. You got to let me know. Okay, now I'm going to also throw this one out there to you. I've heard from Matt. So, Matt, I got your message. I have room for some. I'm driving to Wisconsin next week. Anybody want to go? I have room for a couple more in our van to go to Wisconsin if you would like to do that as well. And I don't know if you've picked up on this, if you understand that the war is raging and America needs soldiers. We need soldiers. Oh, Lord, thank you. Boy, I felt, woo! I got so much I want to share today. It's Friday. It's Flea Flicker Friday, but I ain't flicking no fleas today. I'm going to ride herd on this. It's an important day. Very, very important. And every day is important, but this, I don't know, it's an urgency. I have a sense of urgency about what's going on. And I didn't talk enough about it. If you watch the show, you know what's going on in Allentown, PA, right? You know what's going on. From 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, Jared, throw that up there real quick. And just so people, you know, if you haven't made plans to go, by the way, I think I told Bobby Leitz, for those of you who know, I think we're somewhere near right now, we're approaching 20 pre-registrations. I think it's a great huddle, which tells me there's going to be probably 10 more that are going to show up. So it's not just going to be me and you and Bobby Lee and Mike Blake. You're going to meet some good folks there. And Mark Trump, Don Marshall's bringing his wife and coming down, bringing Leanne with him. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have a good crowd. And you say, well, what are you going to do there, Coach? I don't have a plan. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to get to know you and give you a chance to get to know me and a chance to get to know each other. We'll do some teaching, some talking, some sharing. But when we leave from Allentown, Pennsylvania, you're going to know some people and associate with people that you didn't know before. So you understand that you're not in the battle alone. That's it. It's this weekend. There it is on the screen, regional huddle. And if you want to go and stay at the Holiday Inn Express, which is where we're going to be, then just call them. I don't know if you get a special rate or not. Call them saying, hey, I'm coming tonight. Reserve me a room. I'm with that regional Coach Dave. I don't even know what you'd say. Tell them that there's is there a block of rooms for whatever? Okay. So we're doing that. And then next weekend, we're going to go to, keep my brain working. Wisconsin, Marshfield, Wisconsin, the Men Ministry Expo and Conference in Marshfield, Wisconsin. If you guys are anyway close to that, get up there and support what it is that Rob's doing. Rob's put a lot of time and effort and energy. Just had a new grandbaby, by the way. Congratulations, Rob. He had a little granddaughter, Michelle Evelyn, I believe, a little Evelyn. So praise God for that. Rob needs your support. I'm going to say it again. Rob needs your support. Part of being on the team is going to practices. That's part of it. Okay? So Rob is having a practice next weekend in Marshfield, Wisconsin. You say, but Coach, I live 3 hours away. I know. I live 12. I'm going. I'm driving. Okay? See you there. It's going to be a great event. And the speakers will be good, but it's not about that. It's about fellowship and making connections and understanding that we have to put an army together just like the left is putting an army together. And we'd love for you to be part of it. Oh boy. Anything for the good of the group there regarding that? Chad doesn't have anything going on as far as I know down there. Next, you can see it on our schedule. Next weekend we'll be at Lowell's. I was coming down the steps this morning. I thought, man, March 1st, it's about to happen. Whew. I got a lot going on. Pray for us. Support us financially. So we'll go do what we do. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, good news.
down there in the DFW Metroplex, the beast took a hit. Save James the Boy, it's been canceled. The hearing was canceled yesterday. So yeah, as far as yesterday, it's a big victory. I don't know about tomorrow, but yesterday it was a victory.
That's right. Well, I said this, and when I was coaching football, Vic, let's do this. Let's score a touchdown, and then let's get a turnover, and let's score another. We do not have that mentality in the church. That's the way I'm wired. I don't sit around and celebrate victory. Can I tell you something? I'm going to use the word ass, okay? We'll use ass. It's in the scriptures, okay? So I'm going to make some of you nervous. We kicked Sherrod Brown's ass yesterday. We did. And I'm not sitting home today celebrating it. I'm getting ready for the next play. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? What we're supposed to be doing. Oh, I got so much. Just be with me here, Lord. Be with me here. So much to share with you. We ought to be winning. We can win. We have to decide that we want to win. Now, I put in my... here's why I'm going to start today. I feel like I forgot something. I have. I'm going to talk about Sherrod Brown in the video and the fact it's had 5,000 views. But it needs... the Lord has shown me something that I don't believe anybody else is. I don't know if anybody else in America has come up with this idea of the 14th Amendment. It's not an idea. I don't know if anybody has done it. And not only did we do it, we hit them right in the teeth with it. We trapped them with their own words. And we ought to be doubling down. And I have people in ministry who are friends of mine who won't even share it on their page. They won't even share it on their page. I don't know why. Somebody explain that to me. I'd love to know why. Do you really want to end abortion? Is it because I'm not an AHA-er? I'm not an abolish human abortion. And so because I'm not part of that denomination, you're not going to share it on your page? Is that what it is? You really want to end abortion, but you really don't want to? Is that what it is? You know, I'm wondering, right? I'm wondering what's going on here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I watched that video. Outstanding.
Thanks.
Explain to me the word, when she said the word nuance.
We're going there, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going there, huh? We're going there. Tied her in a freaking knots, right? Hung her on her own petard. We can do that to all of them. We got to get a little bit of courage in our gut. I went there by myself yesterday. Parked my car, walked about three blocks, walked in the front door, faced the police, showed them my camera, my secret camera. I showed them everything I had, and they looked at me and kind of did whatever. Walked into the building, went up to the sixth floor, got all my camera and everything, walked in the door and did it. And then I walked out, did a little bit more of a recording, walked down the steps, walked down, got in my car, drove my car back home, and the whole thing took me about an hour and 45 minutes. Pretty simple. By the way, Sherrod Brown works for me. I don't work for him. I'm his boss. He's not my boss. Although they think they are, see. Although they think they are. And I'll tell you something else that I noticed. The room is full of millennials. Talking about his office is all millennials. It's all leftist millennials. That's who's making your policy. You understand that? There are four young teenagers. You'll see in the video. Four young 20-something people sitting in front of computers. They're making the policy. They are the ones making. Are you hearing me? And we're letting them get away with it. Sherrod Brown, in my humble opinion. Oh, no. Sherrod Brown, in my not-so-humble opinion, is a wicked communist. The man is wicked. You understand what I'm telling you? This is a wicked man that the church ought to be confronting. We're not. Yeah.
It was ridiculous, you know, how the permutations of language and the semantic gymnastics that you have to get to give to afford foreigners more rights than the natural born citizens.
Stay with me a second, Vinny. I'm going there. I'm not there yet.
Of course.
I got some stuff I got to lay out here before I do. I got up this morning and I was thinking about this. Where do I want to go? Okay, Lord, I'll go there. I'm thinking about this. It's funny how my Catholic catechism came back to me. I was raised Catholic. I think I've told all of you that. I found Christ outside the Catholic Church. If you're going to find Jesus inside the Catholic Church, you have to look for him really, really hard. he might be there, but he's hidden. But I found him outside the Catholic Church. And so I was... got up this morning a little bit earlier than normal. And I got up this morning, I sat down in front of my computer, which I often do to prepare for the show. And the Holy Spirit brought something to my remembrance. My catechism, a Catholic catechism. Remember, I used to have to repeat it. You get anybody, any other Catholics out there will understand 50 years ago being in catechism, 52 years ago being in catechism, Catholic catechism. Who made me? God made me. That was the answer. The question, who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? Answer, to serve, to love and to serve him. That was the answer. Boom, boom, boom. It was Catholic catechism. And so this morning, as I'm come down there, the Holy Spirit said, why did I make you? Like that. And I all of a sudden, I'm back in catechism class. Why did God make me? He didn't make me. Say with me. This is what separates Catholics from the rest of us in some ways. The Catholic Church, Catholic Catechism, doesn't teach over and over and over how much Jesus loves you and how much he wants to bless you and how much he wants to give you and how he might wants to give you a happy life. They don't teach that in the Catholic Church. Now, they don't teach much. They teach very little of the gospel, right? But a person in the Catholic Church, this is what I learned in the Catholic Church. I learned a fear and a reverence of the Lord. When my dad used to take us into the Catholic Church, Buckeye Lake, Ohio, and I'd go walking in there, from the time I walked in there, I knew there was somebody in there that I didn't want to mess with. My dad took us in there. He walked us in the pew, four boys and a girl, and we kneeled and we got on our knees and we said a prayer. I didn't know what I was saying, but I knew this, that in that place, I kept my mouth shut and I had the eerie feeling that I was about to get whacked. Anytime. I was looking for the hammer to come down. And I went in there and I did that thing and I made that sign of the cross. And I went up and got my communion and I knew that God made me to love and to serve. Today in the American church, God made you so he could love and serve you. Somebody say amen. There was a great mic drop moment.
Wow, Coach.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
It worked, didn't it, Coach?
What can I get from Jesus?
God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he created you so he could have fellowship with you and just be happy. See, that was not what the Catholic Church taught. And that's why I'm convinced that Catholics become, saved Catholics become the greatest Christians because they already have a fear of God. I have a healthy fear of God. And it was put into me as a very young kid. Not the love of God, not how much God wants. God was sitting there and he's ready to whack me. And I got every Sunday when I went into that church, I had to go back and had to tell the priest what I'd done because I knew that God was watching me. And the priest was watching me. And if I didn't get rid of this thing, somebody was going to whack me. And I had a, but see, I didn't understand grace. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 1 week since my last confession. The priest say, okay. And I'd say, I lied to my parents. How many times did you lie? Four times. What else? I was disrespectful to my teachers. What else? I fought with my brothers. Okay. Well, 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. And I'd go out and I'd do my 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys. And I'm safe. that was, folks, that was my Christian experience. Any Catholics out there and say amen? Know what I'm talking about? Maybe there aren't any ex-Catholics. And when I
amen,
found
Coach, amen.
Yeah, amen. Been there, done that. Catholic school too.
Over
been
and
there,
over.
Done that. Amen, Coach.
Yep, Coach, and Coach, that's funny. I like that.
That ain't funny, man. It ain't funny. But you know what it taught me? It taught me a fear of the Lord, a reverence of the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't understand grace. I didn't understand mercy. The gospel was not there. It did not explain to me the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they taught me to fear the Lord. What does the Bible say the fear of the Lord is, Larry? What's the fear of the Lord? I know more than Larry knows it, but I'm just trying to show you something here.
The beginning of wisdom.
It's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. They teaching the fear of the Lord in your church? Are you teaching your children the fear of the Lord in your own home Bible studies? Are you teaching your children that the Lord is somebody to be feared or somebody who loves you? Which one are you teaching? And I know the answer. That's why we have this mess that we have right now. And I'm going to show you why Catholicism doesn't stick, or why there's this. I say, Coach, why are you on this? Well, I'm on this because the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder this morning at about 4:45, and I haven't been able to get away with it. So, Jared, pull up there. What's the purpose? Here's a question I'm going to ask you. What's the purpose of your faith? Why did the Lord save you? Why did the Lord give unto you the same measure of faith? Why? Was it so that you could believe for possessions in your life? Could believe for stuff? Believe that you could be healed? Believe that you could believe? Did he give you faith for you to have happy, healthy, wealthy life? Is that why he gave you faith?
Well, I think one, Dave, it's to worship him for worship and to honor him as the creator of all things.
Yes. But why do I need faith? Well, I need faith for a lot of reasons, but I think if I would just zero in on why do I need faith, that if I would zero in on why faith is needed in my life, better yet, need faith to do what? Without faith, it's impossible to believe him, please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. What does that mean, without faith? Here it is up on the screen. Why did God make me? That is the very essence of your Christian walk. If you can't experience, if you can't explain why God made you, you're going to have a fire. You're going to have a really, really hard time getting to where you got to get. So I went back to my yes.
Coach, I have something to share. Lately, I've been thinking we're all of us are a family of God. All the brothers and sisters that are together all around the world. God made us to be his family. We are his family. He wants us. He needs us. He needs a family. I think it started from the Garden of Eden, and the story just kept going. There was only plan A, all the way, plan A, right to the end, until the time of the Lord, our Savior. He needs us, and we need him. Together, we are family.
Awesome. Why? Why? Now, listen, folks, this goes to the very heart of it. It goes to the very, why did God create us, and why do we need God? Why do we need him? So we feel, so that we're healthy, wealthy, and wise, and happy, and one big happy. Is that why he made us? See, why did I start a football team? Why do I need football players on my team? Why? Why do we have an army? I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking, why does the United States have an army? Why does every country have an army? And what makes up an army? Well, an army is made up of people. And how do you get into the army? How do you get into the army? Why, you enlist. You choose to come into the army. So if you are in the family of God, boys and girls, you're in more than a family. You are in a army. There's an army. Amen, there's a fight going on. Good against evil. Yes.
We're the body of Christ. We are the family. We're the body. And the making up the body is that we're the foot. And if there's no foot, then there's no crushing Satan underneath our feet. Brother, mm-hmm. That's what we are. That's what we're charging. We're taking back ground. We are stomping devils under our feet.
Amen.
We're more, Coach. We're more than conquerors, Paul said.
Who are we conquering?
We're evil. Darkness. Evil, Coach.
Are we being taught that? No. Are we both being taught that we are more than conquerors through Christ? We are more than conquerors through Christ. Or are we being taught how much Christ loves us and he wants to bless us and make us happy and have a good life? Is that okay? So where does that come from? Well, let's go to our catechism. I pulled up. Hey, guys, give me 5 minutes here. Give me 6 minutes. No interruptions. Why did God make me? Humanities, right? Real quickly. An intersection. Why did he make me? People need to know that. Go on down, Jared. The Catholic Church, however, addresses the right question. Why does man exist? Okay, why did God make man? It says here, to know him. Oh, boy. Why does God hate man? Because he is lonely. Nothing, of course, could be further from the truth. God's perfect. He's not lonely. He's three persons in one, all of them, of course, perfect. As the Catechism of the Church reminds us, Scripture and tradition never cease to teach and celebrate the fundamental truth. This world was made for the glory of God. Okay, got that. So the creation testifies that glory. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. Through him, blah, 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 blah. Lonely, Father, I declare, to love him. So they make God made us to love him. Okay, good. I got that. I love you, God. Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Okay, I got that one. Word love, Sally, much like, go on down now. I'm going someplace with me. When we say that God made us to love him, we mean that he made us to share in the love that the three persons of the Holy Trinity is Catholic now, okay? Through our sacrament of baptism, our souls are infused with sanctifying grace, the very life of God. So when you get baptized, that sanctifying grace comes in there. And then for God to love the world, go on down. Okay, get that up. Get down there, Jeremy. One more. To serve him? What would that be? Serving. Why are you supposed to serve me? That's what it means to serve God, huh? God, creation not only manifests God's perfect love, but his goodness. So it is all ordained to him. That is why, as we discussed about, that he came to know him through his creation, by cooperating with him for creation. We draw closer to him. So it's all about our relationship with God to serve him. Is there one more down there, Jared, or not? I don't think there is. Okay. There it is. Oh, cool. There, I got it now. He made us to be happy with him forever. Woo!
Coach.
Yeah. You're supposed to give me 5 minutes, George, and you didn't.
What's that?
You're supposed to give me 5 minutes. You didn't. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick. So we go before our city officials, our government leaders. You know, you go before Chair Brown. And whether they're in an evangelical church, more of a liberal church, see, we go before and we present the side that God is also a God of judgment, and there's an eternal destiny for each one. And there's a disconnect because of what you're saying. We've bought into this lie that is just all about this cheap grace, that no matter what we do, how we do it, murdering babies, whatever, there's no eternal consequence.
And George, he made you to be his witness to them. He made you to be his witness against evil. That's why he made, that's how you serve him. When you go, what I did yesterday before Sherrod Brown is I was serving my Lord. Wasn't political, wasn't anything. He needed somebody to be a witness. He needed somebody to go do that. That's what we are supposed to do. That's why he put us, that's why I'm in the Lord's army. That's why I'm in the Lord's army. I'm not in the Lord's army simply to sit in my house and say prayers and talk about how much I love him and how much he loves me. And someday we'll be happy together forever. We only get one chance. We're passing through this thing. He gave life to me to serve him, to love him, to serve him. And there ain't nothing in it about me. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ loves within me. Now I'm running out of time. I could go on and on. I got four more things here from the Catholic Church that I could show you. Okay, I got to show you this because this is why Catholics don't get it. God bless you, Catholic. I used to be one. Come and meet Jesus. You'll be forever changed. Go to the Baltimore Catechism, Jared. Baltimore Catechism. You ready? This is the first lesson in the Baltimore Catechism. You ready? Who made the world? God made the world. Who is God? God's the creator of heaven and earth, all things. What is man? Well, man is a creature composed of body and soul, made to the likeness and image of God. Okay, good. Why did God make me? Six. And God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. Now, I want you to think about this. You're being brainwashed. This is brainwashing. I received it. I'm being brainwashed, and this is going to last me about as my first week in college, and this is gone. Okay? Stay with me. What must we do to save our souls? Well, to save our souls, we must worship God by faith, hope, and charity. That is, we must believe in him, hope in him, and love him with our whole heart. Oh, cool. I'm in. Good. Got it. Boom. How shall we know the things that we are to believe? Well, you're going to know these things to believe in from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is going to tell you. That's how you're going to know. Verse 11. Where shall we find the truth that he teaches? Well, it's in the Apostles' Creed, boys. Just say the Apostles' Creed. It's right there. Okay, got it. Good. Let's go to the second lesson. Well, what is God? Well, he's a spirit, infinitely perfect spirit. had God have a beginning? No, he didn't have a beginning. Where is he? Oh, he's everywhere. Okay. If God's everywhere, why do we not see him? Oh, because he's just spirit. Can't see his spirit. Does God see us? Oh, yeah, he sees us and watches over us. Does God know all things? Oh, yeah, he knows everything, even our most secret thoughts, words, and actions. Can God do all things? Yep, he can do about anything. Is God just, holy, and merciful? Oh, God's all just, all holy, all merciful. And he is an infant. Now, say the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed be thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of death. See you next week. So you come back for the third one. What's the third one? Is there but one God? Yep, there's only one God. Where can there be? How can there only be one God? Why is there only one? There can only be one God because God, being supreme and infinite, cannot have an equal. Okay, good. Got that one. Thanks. When's it, freshman year in college, beer, women? Yeah, okay, I got this will do me real good. How many persons are there? Well, there are three persons, not really distinct, equal, blah, blah, blah. Father, okay. Is the Father God? Well, the Father is God, and the first person is the best Trinity. Is the Son God? Well, the Son is God, and the second person is the Trinity. Is the Holy Ghost God? Well, Holy Ghost, yeah, he's God too, and the third person. So what is the Blessed Trinity? What's those three guys all together? Oh, are they the three divine persons, one and the same God? Yeah, three divine persons are one, the same God, having one same God. Yeah, now see. Five Hail Marys and four Our Fathers, and see you next week. Do you get what's going on? And so the brainwashing that goes into the Catholic Church, by the way, goes into our little kids in our regular churches too. Noah's Ark, all that stuff, rainbows, teach them all this meaningless stuff without the Holy Spirit. Boys, it ain't going to last. It ain't going to stick. And that's this kind of crap right here. This is why, look at this. This is why. So many Catholics in particular aren't Christians. There's no mention of salvation. There's no mention of how you come to Christ. It's all through the church. Blah, 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 blah. But can I tell you the truth? The jellyfish are doing the same thing. The jellyfish are teaching the same thing, only a different God. That's all that's going on. That's all the jellyfish are teaching. Okay, I'm going to shut up a minute. I'm going to let you come in because my head's about to explode. Somebody come in.
Hello, Coach.
Yep.
Okay. I'll continue from where I left off. We were created in the image of God, and that's a spiritual image in the spiritual realm. God is not wasn't physical until Jesus came to the earth. And then we saw in Jesus the spiritual image of God. So we have to be imagers of God, that's our creation. We are imagers of him, the verb. We do as Jesus does. We think.
So what would he do? What would he do here? What would Jesus do today in regarding abortion? What would Jesus do today if we're his image bearers?
He'd go and turn the tables over. You know?
Why aren't we? Why aren't we?
We should be.
We should be. What about the fact they're teaching transgenderism in libraries? What would Jesus do about that? Would he go in and hug the homo and tell him how much he loves him and got a wonderful plan for his life? Or would he go in and flip over the tables?
He would rebuke them and flip over the tables.
So why aren't we? If we're made in his image and we are his representatives, and the Bible says we're his ambassadors. Go ahead. I keep walking on you, but this needs to be said. Go ahead.
That's it. Praise God. That's all I got.
Okay. Okay. And so what's happened to us, see, we've adopted the world. We have adopted the ways of the world because why? There is no truth in us. There's no truth. Very little. There's very little truth inside of us. And even those of us who've had our children, if you're listening out there, I'm giving you a fair warning. If you think that your children are going to grow up and be good Christians just because you take them to church and send them to Sunday school, I'm giving you fair warning. You're going to lose your kids. And I know this in all of my times out on the street with the Dale Socias and the Doc Johnstons and the Cal Zastros and the Campanas. And I could go on and on and on. The Thomases. I know this. Those who do ministry work with their children do not lose their children. For the most part, they don't lose them. 80, 85% retention rate. And what we're teaching and giving is a false Christianity. Okay? So I show up yesterday to go see Sherrod Brown. The Lord's representation, by the way. I was going on behalf of the Lord because he told me to do that. He said, well, somebody, please, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? I think we talked about yesterday. Senator Sherrod Brown, in my humble opinion, is an evildoer. He's a very, very wicked man, in my humble opinion. And the question is asked, who will rise up for me against them? And I said, Lord, I think I will. I think that's why you made me. I'm going to go do that. I'll rise up against him. And then when I go rise up against him, I have 4,000. We're going to watch it here, man. I have over 4,000 views. There ought to be 50,000 views on Facebook. You know what people are amazed at? They can't believe anybody would do it. Oh, he has such courage. Courage? Well, go talk to some 25-year-old punk sitting behind a computer. That takes courage to do that. See, that's where we miss it. You got to walk through all the security, and they give the appearance of being high in authority, and they got all this power. They ain't got no power. They ain't got no power at all. The only power they have is the power that I yield, right?
Amen, Coach, right there. You nailed it. I was just thinking that. Jesus looked at Pilate and says, you have no authority, least to be given unto you. These guys don't have no authority. The power is of the governed, not the governed.
They ain't got no power. They only got power because we let them have power, right? That's the only reason.
Coach, you're an ambassador going in, and you're more than a conqueror coming out, Coach.
Brother, yep. And you know what? I'm a Johnny Appleseed. I walked out of that building yesterday. I felt good about myself. I'll be honest. I went and stood up for the Lord. It always makes you feel good. And I walked out of there, and I said, well, Lord, I did it. It's in your hands now. It's in your hands now. And you know what? People still – I said to every – when I posted that video, I said, please share this. Please share it. Now, I got 5,000 or some followers on it. Jared, pull that up real quick. Let's see how many people have shared the video. See, they don't want to share the video because they're going to make somebody mad. Don't play the video yet. Let's just go down to it and see how many people have shared it. I ask everybody, share this video. Chris Kane did. Thanks, Chris. It was 4,220 views. That sounds like a lot. I got 4,000 followers. I got 6,000 followers, right? Now, Jared, maybe if you could, that's some. Where is it? It should tell us how many shares. I did it on Twitter as well. There we go. How many shares does this thing have? Where is that thing? Up the top? Yeah, this is in my way. 218 people have shared it. What? What? 4,200 people have watched it and 216 have shared it. Good question. Have you? Have you shared it? Don't come in and say, yeah, I did. Have you shared it? This is a poison pill to the abortion industry. This right here is a poison pill. Have you shared it? No, I haven't shared it. No, I haven't shared it. Because, Coach, I'm not going to share it because you're for the heartbeat bill. And if I show it to my friends, they'll think I'm supporting you. And, Coach, I can't do that.
Yeah, we couldn't possibly support children.
No, we could. I mean, this is a really good video, but I can't share that. My friends.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, it's like what do the Mexicans say? Mañana, tomorrow. And the thing is that you're thinking, well, I won't share it because someone else will share it. Come on, man, you gotta grab it by the reins and you gotta do it. Don't count on nobody else. You gotta do it.
Vic, it's amazing. 218 shares. 218 people have shared. It's unbelievable. And so,
hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the first, you know, I'll just say when I got it, I immediately just started sending it out saying, I got to share this with people. And I sent it to my dad's pastor up in Washington. I mean, just people need to do that. Yeah, we need to quit thinking who gets the credit for it, because God's going to get credit for it. But we're going to get credit at some point if we go share it with people. The Lord will be well pleased with that.
This thing ought to be viral, man. It ought to be viral, right? Now, hey, Jared, before you play that, go back there and bring up what does it say here, Jared? From Julio. It's called, I got it down there, Julio Severo, Last Days Watchman. I got this, I think Mike Paula Heath maybe sent this to me. Julio's a guy who's fighting like hell as well. Now, I want you to look. Who's bothered that I ask more conservative? Julio says we need more conservative energy. We need our team to fight harder. We need more energy from the Family Research Council against the gay agenda. And look what Right Wing Watch. This is from Julio. Okay, scroll down there. Right Wing Watch from yesterday. Scroll on down, Jared. And look, Right Wing bonus tracks, imprecatory prayer against drag queen story arc. Our buddy Kyle Mantella there at the Right Wing Watch yesterday posted this. He posts about Joe Bernstein. It's on there. Joe Bernstein sings out the other top 100 conservatives in the country all to get together and decide what social media platform to use. Excuse me. It's locked in. It goes on to talk about them. Roy Moore, he's worried Roy Moore is reportedly going to run for Senate again. Uh-oh. What else? Finally, Julio goes after the Family Research Council. This is the Right Wing Watch, okay? This is the Right Wing Watch. They're sharing. And then finally, Dave Dobenmeyer prays that those who are leading drag queen story hours, I pray that the Lord breaks his teeth. I pray that the Lord strikes him with a sixpence to shut his mouth. Amen, I do. Amen, I do. Because what the Bible teaches me. What the Bible teaches me to do. That's what the Bible teaches me to do. To have no mercy on God's enemies. That's what it's God. Hey, folks, it's God's job to have mercy on his enemies, not mine. Not mine. It ain't my job to have mercy on his enemies. Lord, can I got to show you this. Because, boys, I'm feeling this today. Because it's the spirit of feminism that's destroyed Christianity and destroyed the church. And the reason why, I'm going to say it, this program can't get more traction. Sissified Christian men and sissified Christian women don't like what they're hearing. See, they don't realize we're in a stinking war. We are in a war. And so men controlled by their women and women who control their men don't like the harshness of this. It's like, in fact, some of you are having problems in your home because your wife can't figure out why all of a sudden you want to be a man. Somebody say amen. It doesn't have to be about you. It's okay. It doesn't have to be about you.
Amen.
In your own home. You're getting pushed back in your own home because you say, I want to be a man follower of Jesus.
Coach, yep.
And the little blue pill won't help.
The entire lesson of today is that it's not about us. It's about Jesus. So it's
about Jesus.
Stop?
Okay, so Jared, pull up the Hitler quote there. It's in a different email. It's from Hitler. I stole this someplace. Here's what Hitler said. Hitler said this. All I can say about this type of female equality. All I can say about this type of female equality, I have experienced war. Hitler says, women are equal. Listen, dudes, I've experienced war. I know how hard it is. I know how many men's nerves have been shattered by war. I'm going to stop right there. PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, men go to war, and what happens in war breaks them down. Strong men broken down by war. And Hitler says, I know how many men's nerves have been shattered by war. I've often seen them return by the dozens, doddering, completely ruined and broken. The idea that a girl or woman should take this upon herself, I have no respect for German men who permit that to happen, Hitler said. As long as we have a healthy male gender in Germany, no female sharpshooters or grenadiers will be trained in Germany. There's no equality, but rather inferior rights for women because it is much harder for her than for a man because a man naturally has the desire to war. Women do not. We won't do it because for us, the woman has been the most faithful work and life companion of the man at all times. It's the woman, my wife, who enables me to be the warrior that I am. I don't ask her to go do what I do. She encourages me. She keeps the home together. She keeps the family together. And she says, honey, go. It's what you're supposed to do. You're a man. Go.
Amen.
Amen, coach.
And if a woman can do it, why do we need men? You see? You see how subtle it is? Oh,
hey, coach.
Lord.
Yeah. Coach. Can everyone put on a tinfoil hat for a second? Because I have to say this, because if I don't say it, I think I'm doing the world a disservice. The media sends us transsexuals on TV. Okay, people? I know it sounds weird, But you have to look at this. Their body proportions.
What does it matter? What does it matter?
Okay, what does it matter? Because women should not be trying to be like men. Women should be like women. Okay?
They're trying to teach us that in kindergarten. I'm not worried about TV. They're doing it to us in kindergarten.
Yeah. Ugh.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Hey, folks, this is everywhere. In order, before you become sissified as a man, you had to be made a sissy as a boy. And all the time, listen, you know why? You know why? You know why I have 216 shares? Because I'm too manly. There, I said it. My approach is too manly. It's too harsh. My approach is too John the Baptist-like. And the sissy men and the sissy women, they don't get it. They don't understand we're at war. And war is harsh and war is ugly. And I'm going to tell you something. The girl in Sherrod Brown's office, she would have much rather spoken to my wife.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I really do. I praise God for you because, and I get what you're saying. You're 100% right. See, I was raised in a home where, thank God, my dad taught like you teach. I mean, not exactly, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he was a man's man. So when I met you, man, I gravitated towards you. I think the guys in the queue were probably very similar. They had similar experiences. But you're right, as a whole, man, little boys are being emasculated from a young age. You know what? We need to stop that. We need to raise up a godly standard, and we need to stop that and teach them how to be men.
George, they're being emasculated in Sunday school. Amen, Roger? Hey, amen, Roger? They're being emasculated in Sunday school.
George just hit it on the nail, brother.
Yeah, I know he did.
George says, if we're the image of God, then Coach is the father. He's the image of our heavenly Father here. We're not saying that you're the father. We're just saying that you're the image of the heavenly Father, and that's why so many men like me, we gravitate to you because you have that father image.
Okay, so tell me this then. Who's the power in the Catholic Church? Who do you have to go through to get all your prayers answered? Well, it's very simple. You got to go through Mary.
You got to go through the priest, the pope, all that nonsense.
You got to go through Mary. You got to go through Mary.
No, not me.
You don't?
No, I'm going through my heavenly Father. I dropped that stuff off a long time ago.
Hail Mary, full of grace. Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. How come Mary wasn't John the Baptist? Why come John the Baptist wasn't a woman? Can't you understand? Can't you see what's going on? Can't you see that they control the world by controlling men?
Satan is the master of reversal, Coach. We are ignorant of the devil's devices. Paul said, but we are, Coach. We're ignorant of the devil's devices.
Amen. Hey, Jared, do you have that? Did I send you that link today that your dad sent me? Did I send that to you, Alex Jones, yesterday?
Well, Dave, I was just going to say.
Watch this minute and a half. I'm sorry. Watch this minute of Alex Jones on with Joe Rogan. Now, I watched this whole show yesterday. I don't always watch it. Somebody put me on to it, and I watched it. And this is two men going at it, man. This is boys and girls. You better hear me. If you can't see that the world is crying masculinity, I don't know what to tell you, right? And a lot of people aren't going to be able to watch this. Joe Rogan, I don't think he's safe. Alex Jones, can I tell you something? I'm not sure Alex Jones is safe. I don't think he's safe. Okay. But it's this bold, bombastic. What the world's looking for, I'm telling you. Go ahead and play this, Jared. It's a minute and a half. Just
saying,
a clip.
If you censor yourself,
listen to this.
Like I'll just censor myself a little bit.
Start it again, Jared. It's about censoring yourself. Go ahead.
You were saying that if you censor yourself, you're just like, I'll just censor myself a little bit.
You wanted to make this point when we started the show, but please make it. This is the big enchilada.
You made it in the back.
We'll start over.
And it's right. We were talking, and we were. First of all, we gave each other a big hug. We talked it out. We're both happy that we're not angry at each other. And then when we started talking, you made a really good point. You said, the thing is, if you censor yourself just 1%, you say, I'll just censor myself 1%. That's what they want. I'm going to make them happy. And then they're just going to keep moving it. They're just going to keep moving it forward.
Moving
the goalposts and providing you with more money and giving you more things, but keep moving it in a certain direction. And if you keep giving into it, they're going to have a hold of you and they can control you. And that's how network television got started. If you really think about what network television is, the reason why they don't swear and they don't have explicit content isn't because people wouldn't want to see it. The reason is because the advertisers won't let them. There's a whole commerce aspect to it. It's not just, hey, you're the CSI guys, or hey, you're
exactly. And so now they've organized with Sleeping Giants and Media Matters a couple million people that call and threaten and attack anybody. And then notice, Joe, once they're done with me, now it's Joe, you better not have this person on, or you better have that person on. And so what is your soul? What is your destiny worth? And I always thought I was smart because I could analyze politics and history. I was kind of socially retarded.
Look what it is. They try to control you, right? They try to control you, tell you what's proper to say and what's not proper to say. And my greatest opposition continues to be from those who want to tell me how Christians are supposed to act and that I'm not acting very Christian-like. And as soon as I do that, as soon as I self-censor, it's all downhill from there. I won't do it.
Toxic masculinity.
Me and George and Vic, I don't care. If it's just it, that's the way it would be, okay? I don't care. I care because boys, I want to win. And until the day the Lord calls me home, I'm going to try to get victory over evil here in the natural world. That's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to keep myself from evil, but I'm going to try to help the Lord conquer evil because I'm his servant. And that's what I believe he wants me to do. He doesn't want me to have a happy life so I can live with him forever. He's not lonely. It's not any of that. I am a soldier. He has placed me here as a soldier. I'm a dead man. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. If I'm already dead, then I don't have to fear death. So why shouldn't I go into places where it might cost me my life? That, to me, that's just logical. And I'm not going to let pastors, and I'm not going to let bishops, and I'm not going to let talk show hosts, and I'm not going to let abolish human abortion. I'm not going to let those people take me off target from what it is the Lord has called me to do, because I will stand before him and give an account for what I did on his behalf. And no, I don't get to heaven by works, but when I get to heaven, he's going to say, what did you do?
Coach.
Here you go.
Amen.
Coach, we need the armor of God, Coach. We need to gird our loins tight with truth. And when you gird your loins, you're girding your balls tight with the truth of Christ, getting ready. And who else can gird their loins but men? That's the way I see it.
That's right. Why do we have to gird our loins? Because we're going into battle. Gird your loins, boys. Put on the armor. We're going to war. Against who? Evil. Evil. Coach, politics and religion don't mix. I ain't mixing the two. I'm fighting evil. Evil. The politics are evil. The demonic realm, it's evil. I'm a soldier of the cross. I put on my armor. I go against it.
Hey, Coach.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Coach. You know what? And because you do what you do and you don't cave, you know what? You're not getting the big, huge bucks. But you know, when you stand before Sheriff Brown, and I know when four of us stood before the city council, you know what? We walked out with our head tied because you know what? No amount of money could control what we said, just like no amount of money can control. And you know what? That's being a man. Power gets controlled by money.
I want to show you that video, but I'm not going to play it on Monday. You better listen to me. I'm talking to some of you. Money makes you soft. Has it ever dawned on you that big savings account, all that stuff that you got stuffed away? What if the Lord, when you stand before the Lord, what if the Lord says to you, hey, I gave you that money to fund the war. I gave you that money to put soldiers and provisions out on the wall.
You, it was yours. You kept it in your bank account.
Amen, Coach.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Being Flea Flicker Friday, can I take, somebody sent a tremendous video to me this morning on the evils of what's been happening in our country. And this is probably the best video I've seen of this aspect of what Islam has been doing for decades in our country. And it's well, it's only 4 minutes, but it's well put together. Can I show that video?
Yeah, go ahead. Pause. I'll let you show up. Here's what I want you to think about. God bless you, Larry. God bless you, JR. God bless you. The Muslims are coming. God bless you. They're eating us alive in our public schools. They're turning us into sissies in our churches. And until we can focus on where the problem is on our team. Hey, boys and girls, the video Larry's going to show us, I haven't seen it. I'm going to tell you this. Hey, turn off the phone. Turn off the, if you don't like it, turn it off. The Muslims are going to kick our ass. But we're sissy boys.
And they're outpopulating us.
Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead and play it.
Hey, can you see it?
Not yet. Maybe we can. I don't know.
It's been over 10 years. A church group from another state brought a couple of to the rural county where I live. I wanted to know, how could they do this? What was the governmental process that allowed the resettlement of refugees to a county ill-prepared?
I don't see it. Is it up there somewhere? Do I need to click on somebody to see this? Click on Larry's name. Click on Larry Richardson, and you can see it.
Was not prepared to teach large numbers of students.
Starting again.
It's been over 7 years since a church group from another state brought a couple hundred refugees to the rural county where I live. I wanted to know, how could they do this? What was the governmental process?
I'm not seeing it now. Is anybody seeing it? I'm not seeing it now.
Larry, I'm not seeing it. You had it before.
Save it for Monday. Save it for Monday, Larry. Save it for Monday. We'll put it up. We'll put it up on Monday.
Okay.
I was going to show the. Okay. Here. Let me finish up with this. Folks, listen to me. You can all do what I just did. Listen, maybe some of you haven't seen the video. Jared, I'm sorry. Sorry, Larry. Jared, I just pull up and play about get about 3 minutes of my video ready. Listen, friends, listen. There are 44 Democratic senators. You can go to any senator. You can go wherever you live, your senator. You can do what I did. You can do what I did. And if we raise a small stink everywhere, we'll begin to get somewhere. So wherever you are, if you live in Virginia and they have a Democratic, they have a Democrat who did not vote to save the right for a baby to live once it's born is an inalienable right. It's a constitutional amendment. Equal protections of the law. And they're only going to get away with this bull crap if we let them continue to get away with it. And all I did yesterday was showed up, showed them the 14th Amendment and said, why doesn't this apply to babies? And they had no answer for it. We ought to be, all of you ought to be doing this. In fact, well.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to send it Ted Cruz.
Stop, Vic, stop. Play the video, Jared. Sorry, Vic.
Everything. Flip this comb thing around. That's right. Good. Okay, so again, I'm walking. I'm on the sixth floor here in the John Bricker building in High Street in Columbus, and I'm going to go to have a meeting with Senator Brown. I'm going to find out this birthright citizenship thing, how that old thing works. And so if you just bear in with me, there's probably going to be some dead moments, some down moments. I apologize for that, but I'm going to put this in my pocket. I'm just going to keep it going until I figure out where the heck his office is and go through the preliminaries and then get on, you know, hear from them exactly what's going on. Again, I'm on the sixth floor. I'm going to flip this around now, so just bear with me, okay? And I'm going to have that camera in my pocket. Don't be on your phone. Good. How you doing? I'd like to speak to someone. I want a clarification on birth
rates. Look at the millennials in the background.
How that works.
Look at the millennials in the background.
Okay. You like your job? My daughter used to do this. Well, not for a senator. She's state house at one time. My name's Dave.
I'm Hafsa. Nice to meet you. Hafsa? Yes, Hafsa. Right there. Somewhere. Right here.
Right. Hafsa. Thank you, dear. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd like to speak to the senator, but I know that's probably next in.
Yeah, he's not here.
Next in possible.
But I'm an immigration caseworker, so okay. I know a little bit about
Just some clarification. Mm-hmm. I brought with me the copy of the 14th Amendment so that you can have that so you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Here. And I just wondered if you could explain to me the way you understand it, or the way the senator understands it, if you're able to speak for him, exactly what is birthright citizenship? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
She's reading the amendments. Bear with me. She probably never read it. Ever read it, I'm sure.
So what exactly is
Well, we're down at the bottom. It says all persons born or... I've got to get my glasses on. I'll put them in my pocket.
Okay.
All persons born or naturalized, isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm. All persons born or naturalized in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof, yada, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
Nor denied any person within its jurisdiction the equal protections of the law. My question is,
right.
When does birthright citizenship begin? Does it be if a woman were to come across the border and have a, let's say she comes into El Paso, Texas, and she has a baby in El Paso, Texas, is that baby at the moment that it's born?
Yes, as a United States citizen. So she would need, that baby would have a birth certificate issued by the hospital, and that would guarantee.
Well, okay, let me stop that a second. Then what if at that point somebody interdicted before she was able to go to the hospital. Let's say she had the child in an ambulance, or and then I come along and I said, no, that baby's not born here or not a citizen of the United States. Can that baby at that point be deported? Does the baby only become a citizen when they give it a birth certificate? What? This is kind of confusing to me. Birthright citizenship. When does it begin?
I'm pretty sure if you're born on United States soil, you're guaranteed your citizenship.
So the moment that baby is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, what's it say? Equal. I'm just reading what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Any person born or naturalized in the United States, subject to jurisdictions thereof, or citizens of the United States in the state wherein they reside, and no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any persons within its jurisdiction the equal protections of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So this applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Here's what I don't understand then. If this child, according to what you've shared with me, is a born person, the moment it's born, it has all equal protection of the laws. How does a child born alive after an abortion not have birthright citizenship? Because didn't Senator Brown just vote against the birth born alive infant protection act?
Yes.
Doesn't that child, the moment it's born, have birthright citizenship? And if it has
yes.
all equal protections under the law,
mm-hmm.
how can somebody kill it?
Well, Senator Brown believes that all healthcare decisions need to be made between a woman and her doctor.
So a woman and a doctor have jurisdiction over the babies?
Anything further than that, Senator Brown likes to answer in his own words. So if you have a specific question you'd like to ask him...
I would like to ask him. How could I do that?
Yeah, let me get you the form.
No. How does a guy like me, just a regular old common old citizen like me...
Mm-hmm.
Hey, stop, Jared. You can watch it. She answers it's nuanced. The baby's nuanced. A Mexican is a baby moment it pops out of mommy, but a baby born in a hospital and the mommy didn't want it, that's nuanced. That's nuanced. We can't let him get away with this crap. Guys, you can do what I just did. You can do it. You can do it. Watch this video, listen to the argument I made, and then go make the argument to your senator. You may have to drive 2 hours. I didn't have an appointment. I just showed up.
made a copy of the 14th Amendment, had her read it, and say, why does this not apply to a little human being born in a hospital here in America that died? And so because the mommy didn't want it, it doesn't have any rights? Is that what you're telling? Folks, this is crazy. This is crazy. I'm going to pick up more of this on Monday. A lot to talk about here. Hey, 216 shares. Are you kidding me? 216 shares. God bless you. We'll see you Monday.